Oye, oye, oye.
Hi, Dr. Artella.
Hi, Nia.
I have a question based on the Terry case that we've talked about. I heard that the courts changed that ruling. Is that correct?
You have the best questions.
Oh, thank you.
The answer is that it's not quite, but the courts are starting to curtail police action somewhat in this area.
What do you mean?
Well, let's talk about this landmark case from New York. It's called Floyd et al. v. City of New York et al.
That case doesn't sound like cases we've heard before, because usually, right, there's a person and a state or a person and the U.S.
This case is actually a class action suit. So it's in the civil realm. So we're going to have plaintiffs and defendants and not the state and the defendants.
Oh, okay.
And the defendant in this case is the City of New York. And you're talking about the mayor's office and the police department.
Oh, so when you sue a city, you sue the whole
in this
the whole
case,
shebang.
They did, because they're all the decision makers on this.
Are they suing under a specific kind of, like, part of the code or part of the Constitution or anything like that?
Yes, they are. They are suing for violations of Section 1983 of Title 42 of the United States Code, the 4th and 14th Amendments, and Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
That's a lot of laws.
It certainly is, but this is a class action suit.
Okay, so what is a class action suit?
The class action suit represents a large group of people who have the same interest and all belong to this group and are easily identifiable as belonging to this group.
Oh, okay. So who is the group of Floyd et al.?
So there are four named plaintiffs: David Floyd, David Orlick, Leet Clarkson, Dion Davis, and they represent 4.4 million New Yorkers who were stopped by the police between the years of 2004 and 2012.
Holy cow! 4.4 million people were stopped in 8 years? That's like 500,000 people a year. That's crazy.
To put it in perspective, it is nearly 1,500 people were stopped and frisked daily for 8 years.
That's bonkers. I would think that New York police would not want that number published anywhere, because it does not sound like a good number.
And you are right. And that number only became visible after New York City had lost an earlier case called Daniel et al. v. City of New York et al. again.
Okay, so that sounds like another civil case. Is that another case like this one?
Yes, it was, but that one was even more stark. It was a case sparked by the death of Amadou Diallo. Gosh, you know what? These names are kind of hard to pronounce.
Yeah, I'm glad you're the one saying them, because I'm not so good with that.
But he was killed by 41 bullets for merely standing in the vestibule of his Bronx apartment building.
You know what? I've heard of this. And you know why? Bruce Springsteen has a song called 41 Shots, which is about this case. Apparently, he was reaching for his wallet.
Yes.
But they didn't know what he was reaching for. So, and the first time I heard the song, I thought, what, because the first 20 bullets didn't do the job? I mean, seriously, that's insane. 41,
yes.
41 shots, 41 times to shoot someone.
Yes, and the community was outraged and very angry. And understand, they're already angry because you have a street crime unit of over 300 officers who killed him, and they are already mad at this unit because they're out there stopping and frisking young men of color. And in fact, they had frisked 45,000 people in 2 years, and of those, 35,000 did not even result in an arrest.
Wow. Like that's just crazy numbers. At least if you were finding people who were doing bad things, you might be able to justify that. But I can imagine people being pretty angry over the fact that most people who are getting stopped and frisked aren't doing anything, like they're let go.
And then they end up killing this young man.
Ugh. So I can see why the crowd was mad.
Yes. And so New York City settled this case and agreed to disband the unit and to start documenting stop and frisks. And they were documenting stop and frisks to include what were the reasonable suspicion as to what it was happening. Also, whether or not they actually searched them. So not only did they detain them, but was there a search? They also had to create an anti-profiling policy, and they were settling this in 2003.
Okay, so I think the settlement didn't work out since we have Floyd.
You have it right. It did not work at all, but sufficient information was collected to clearly show a pattern of racially profiling in the actions of the New York police.
Okay, so what did the plaintiffs show?
So, Floyd, an African-American man, claimed that on February 27th, 2008, he was walking on a path adjacent to his house in the Bronx. He encountered the basement tenant, also an African-American man, who indicated that he was locked out of his apartment and asked for help because Floyd's godmother owned the building. Floyd then went upstairs to retrieve the keys, and he retrieved a whole bunch because he was unsure of which was the correct key to the basement apartment.
Okay, well, that makes sense. You don't want to have to keep going up and down to get a different key.
Exactly. So Floyd and the tenant were at the basement apartment door and started trying the keys. After several tries, they found the right one. However, before they could open the door, three officers approached them and asked the two men what they were doing, told them to stop, and proceeded to frisk them. The officers asked the men to produce identification and interrogated them as to where they lived and what they were doing.
Okay, so he's just helping out his godmother and he gets frisked.
Yes, he does. But here's the bad thing. The police lied on the forms and didn't report that they had searched both guys.
Not good. That is not good. Okay, so what about the others?
So David Orlich, who is an African-American, who is of African-American and Italian ancestry, testified that about 10 a.m. on the morning in early June, he was sitting on a bench with an African-American male friend outside the Johnson Public Housing Complex in Harlem.
All right, so it's nice to be sitting outside on a June morning.
You would think, but not that day. After sitting on the bench for about 10 minutes, Orlich noticed two male uniformed police officers were walking through the housing complex. When the two reached the corner, they turned, drew their weapons, and screamed, "Get on the floor, get on the floor, and there's a gun around here. Everyone get on the floor."
Okay, that sounds terrifying.
It gets worse.
Okay.
At the same time, a blue and white police van arrived, and three or four officers exited the van. All the police officers are out running around and have their guns drawn.
My goodness, you would think they were looking for a murderer or something.
Well, the officers told Orlich that they had received reports that there was a gun in the vicinity. So the officers proceed to pat him down, and they lifted him by the belt, checked it underneath him and in his pockets.
Whoa, talk about up close and personal. That's a little too up close and a little too personal, lifting somebody by their belt.
Yes. No kidding. And the other individuals who were sitting outside were also told to lie on the ground. They were also lifted by their belts, and they were searched.
Okay, so first of all, nobody wants to lay on the ground. Right?
No one does.
I'm just saying, in June in the city, yuck.
Yes.
But also, that sounds terrible. I mean, this all sounds terrible. So what happened?
After the men had been laying on the ground for about 10 minutes, the officers told them they could get up. The officers then demanded that all the men provide their names and identification. In the end, they didn't find any evidence to support that a report had even been made of a gun in the area.
Okay, wait a minute. So they send out like 6, 8, 10 cops, whatever, his van, people shouting and flailing with their guns and stuff, and they couldn't produce anything that ever told them that there was even a gun in the area?
That is correct. And that's what the plaintiffs proved at trial.
Wow. Okay, so was this case just based on these two incidents? Not that these two are not enough, but is there more?
The plaintiffs also proved at trial that the New York City police targeted minority males for such treatment. 85% of the stops and frisks were with minorities, while they only represent about 52% of the city population.
Well, but if that 85% is committing crimes, then it would be a good thing.
Maybe, but I'll tell you, the judge found that nearly 90% of the people stopped are released without the officer finding any basis for a summons or an arrest.
Hence our 35,000 out of 45,000. Okay.
Yes. And she found that the police department had quotas, used police who were not trained, and directed specifically to go and stop and frisk minorities.
This is the all bad channel. So what did the court hold?
So judge concluded that the stops, which soared in number over the last decade as crime continued to decline in New York City, demonstrated a widespread disregard for the Fourth Amendment, which protects against unreasonable search and seizures, as well as the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. The judge found that for much of the last decade, patrol officers had stopped innocent people without any objective reason to suspect them of any wrongdoing.
Wow, that is really bad for New York. That is not a good look, Big Apple.
But that's not all.
Well, there's more?
Yes. She also held the city's highest officials had turned a blind eye to the evidence that the officers were conducting stops in a racially discriminatory manner.
Whoa. So what did she do? How did she order the correct, like, ordered it to be corrected?
She ordered a number of remedies, including a pilot program in which officers and at least five precincts across the city will wear cameras on their bodies to record any street encounters. She also ordered a joint remedial process, in essence, a series of community meetings to solicitate public comments on how to reform the department's tactics.
Okay, so what happened?
What happened was Bloomberg left office as mayor, and the New York stopped the appeal after Bill de Blasio came into office. So then they implemented the agreement that the judge had wanted with all of these reforms. And in the latest report out of 2019 said the stops that had been 685,000 in 2011
Gack.
Are now down to 11,238 in 2018.
So what about crime in New York? Did it go up? Did that affect crime?
Crime went down.
Really? Okay.
Yes. So the concerns about a crime spree were definitely wrong.
Okay. So what does this case mean for those who don't live in New York City? Because it didn't go to the Supreme Court, right? So it's not a federal thing.
That is a great question. This is in a district court. So that means that other district courts can look at it, but it's not controlling, because it didn't go all the way up to the Supreme Court. It may be controlling in the New York District Court. So this is in the Southern District of New York. So this would be controlling in that area.
And by controlling, you mean the district found, so any court below that district would be held by it?
Any other trial judge.
Okay. Would have to uphold. Okay.
Yes, because the Court of Appeals at this point, the appeal was dismissed. So it's basically looking as an affirmation.
But it doesn't control, say, Richmond, because it's not our district court.
It is not our district court.
Okay.
No. However, they might look to it for the reasoning, and other plaintiffs who see the same type of activities happening in their districts can go, hey, this is happening here too. Look at all our evidence. So it gives them a roadmap for these arguments.
Oh, okay. So in the end, it's a good thing to look at those cases, even if they didn't happen in your area, because they could help you make an argument about what is happening in your area.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you brief the case for us?
Certainly. So in 2008, class action suit was brought against the city of New York for a variety of violations relating to stop, question, and frisk, a policy that was in place in New York City. The police had stopped and frisked 4.4 million people between 2004 to 2012. And in the court case, two individuals' cases were highlighted as problems. And the court found them that the police had violated their Fourth Amendment rights against unreasonable search and seizures, their 14th Amendment rights against equal protection. They were not treated equally, regardless of their race. And therefore, the court found that the city of New York was in violation and had to stop the stop, question, and frisk. They had to set into place remedial matters, including a pilot program where officers are wearing cameras, and that they had to open up a community meetings on comments on how to reform the department's tactics. They are continuing to report their stop, question, and frisk, but it is incredibly less, from coming from over a half a million a year down to less than 15,000 a year.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, that's good.